Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
We're always talking about The Last Dance, everybody getting into it every single Monday about what happened on Sunday, the stories about Michael, the stories about Scotty. Is Michael punching Steve Kerr in the face, the guy who covered those teams, Jeff Joniak. He's the Bears play-by-play broadcaster. He's the sports director at WBBM AM and 105.9 FM over in Chicago. He joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jeff, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. How's everything in Cleveland? All right? Staying healthy?
So far, so good. Doing the best. It's snowing this morning a little bit.
Come on now.
Yeah, it's not sticking. At least from where I'm at, it's not sticking. It was sticking yesterday morning, then it quickly went away. But it's snowing this morning. Ah, who the hell knows? Is it cold in Chicago, or is it okay
in
Chicago?
It was a very rainy, dark kind of upper 30 Mother's Day. So hopefully brighter days to come. But we're all used to it here, just as the folks in Cleveland are.
Yeah, just with all the other stuff going on, it kind of sucks. But either way, I want to get to this. I've got to ask you a couple of questions about my boy Mitch. Just coming up here in a little bit, but I got to start off with what's going on with Michael Jordan. First off, okay, I'm worrying that people look at Michael and they think that he was just a red ass all the time and that he was a jerk all the time, and that's what you have to be successful. Was he always that way? Was he always that almost borderline psychotic when it comes to his teammates, Jeff?
It was just on the name of winning, though. But, I mean, he was a cold-blooded assassin, man. If you weren't with him, you were against him. And I honestly had forgotten some of the stories as I'm sitting here watching it like the rest of us. And just the absolute no-holds-barred, this is the way it's got to be if we're going to go into battle. Because you got to remember, it took so many years to get there. And so many teammates that he knew were not good enough, and they weren't just able to get over the hump with the Pistons. And then the Knicks came around, and they were a rugged bunch. Getting by the Cavs was not easy. I mean, it was I think it left a mark on him, so both literally and figuratively, because he was hammered. I mean, that body took a beating many times, but... You know, he just, as he said many times, I remember the quotes he always said, yeah, I'm gonna usher you around, or you know, carry you around on the cape a little bit if you guys want it bad enough. And personally, he's the greatest athlete I've ever been honored to watch. And so I was courtside for so many of those games and seeing it that up close, just the intensity of the man. And he did bring his teammates along, and in the end they did abide by it, so to speak, and that's why they won. They needed everybody, not just him.
Yeah, Jeff, it's been four straight weeks where the filmmakers obviously felt there was enough evidence and enough opinion and commentary to include the Jerry Krause bashing. We saw it again yesterday to kick off the first hour. Are we getting carried away with this, or was he that reviled, and was the exodus of the Bulls that much of his responsibility?
I think it's a little bit unfair, you know, at times. But you know, it was always there. I mean, I knew that those guys did not care for his style, and the Kukoc stuff really was something that got under their skin. But you know, as we've learned, Michael did not take kindly to any kind of saying, you know what, it's not about you. And I think that really simmered all the time, and it didn't matter if it was Jerry Krause or the glove, Gary Payton, or any kind of comments by any player at any time or any coach. George Karl pissed him off too. I mean, the slightest thing, and maybe that was the furnace that needed to burn for him at times in his career. So he certainly did carry a lot of his dad's death with him into his career, and that the rest of his career, and that really was a real stumbling block for him at times. So privately, so you know, there was a lot to it. I mean, Jerry, he did rub people the wrong way. That was his style. I mean, I had many conversations with him. But if he didn't like something, you know, he gruffed about it. But that's a lot of people in sports. So, but they didn't take kindly to him at times. Definitely not.
Did they ever? I'm sorry, Anthony. Did they ever? When it was all done, did they ever try to put the relationship back together? Because from what it looks like here, boy, there is still some contempt. I mean, this is not a good look. They do not make Jerry Krause
look good. What? They got taken away. It'd be like, you know, anybody having something taken away. And I think they felt that they were still a powerhouse and could have kept on winning. And I know now, even all these years later, it's like something wasn't finished the way it should have been. And if Michael was going to be the great athlete that wasn't going to be great to the finish, and, you know, obviously he went back and he played again. It wasn't great, but so be it. I think he earned it, and he was just so unique. And I think we all, here in Chicago anyway, and those who cover the team and those who are enthralled by it every single night, feel like something's missing, and it was too bad that it was broken up.
Everyone over the last few weeks has attempted to debunk any of the controversy surrounding why Michael left the game. You lived it. You were there. What was the prevailing wisdom at the time? I mean, were people just dumbfounded that someone could walk away at his best? Did anybody buy the gambling stuff or think there were any connections with his father's terrible, tragic death?
No, but, I mean, there were enough. I mean, there were so many reporters around. I mean, with LeBron, obviously, in Cleveland, you guys got a good taste of what the national media, when it descended upon your city, you know. But it was crazy. I mean, it was absolutely crazy every single day. And they just kept coming out of the woodwork, more and more media, and it was at the height of the NBA. I mean, it was an absolute insane situation. So with more reporters, more opinion, I think, you know, the internet really just got going, what, in the early 90s? So that created a whole new avenue of reporters. And, you know, I never bought into any of it. I mean, it made you pause. I'm not going to lie. It made you pause a couple times when these stories came out. But, you know, it was weird. Mr. Jordan was close to me, too. So in 91, I was a pre- and post-game host for the state network, for the main network. It's kind of complicated, but so I was in the locker room, and that was before we had wireless microphones and all that business. And I remember Mr. Jordan protected my area because I had a hard time getting in the locker room, and literally I was on my hands and knees walking through legs to get to my broadcast area to do the post-game show. And he protected my area from the champagne, and he was guiding over the area. I didn't ask him to do it, but he was just kind enough to do it. And he was bringing me all the guys to interview. I couldn't go and get them. He was bringing them to me. I mean, I love that guy. That guy was something else. So it hit everybody hard, but I never once thought it was because of gambling or debt or whatever. But, you know, Michael, as he said, he had a competition problem, and the competition was always there, whether it be on the court or off the court.
Jeff Joniak joining us on the show, Bears play-by-play announcer. And as you're hearing, he covered that team extensively, the Bulls teams of the 1990s. Did you believe, Jeff, that he would come back? Because I was a kid when Michael retired, and
yeah.
I just always assumed, like, oh, he'll be back. No big deal. Did you assume he would come back and play NBA
no,
basketball?
I didn't because I knew he loved baseball, and I knew his dad loved baseball, and a lot of this, you know, was dad-related, you know, live out your dream, do whatever you want. And I remember covering, going to Sarasota. I didn't cover the entire beginning of his baseball career, but he was dead serious about it. You guys might remember the name Walt Riniak. He was a hitting coach, and he was a no-nonsense old baseball guy, you know, rough around the edges and nothing fancy. This is how we do it, and you gotta grind. And if you impressed him, you impressed a lot of people in baseball. And Michael impressed him with his diligence and working at it. And, you know, when he said on the show last night that his hands were blistered up, they certainly were, because he never stopped working. And he did earn the respect of a lot of people. And the whole Sports Illustrated thing, I had forgotten about that. But true to his word, he never again worked with Sports Illustrated when they said what they said on their cover. And I thought it was inappropriate. You know, I don't know what everyone thought that he was going to do. You just don't go 0 to 100 in any sport, especially baseball, and become great. But, you know, when you listen to what he did at that level, double-A ball, mm-hmm. what, he driving 50 runs one season and hit 200? That's pretty damn good, fellas. I mean, for going 0 to 100. But, you know, he was always playing pickup games, too, then. I mean, he played pickup games with those White Sox minor leaguers, and he was vicious, just like he was in an actual game. You know, you saw the Space Jam thing. I mean, how concocted, I don't even know if that's the right word, or calculated, was this man that he brought in, and these NBA stars are all too happy to go play, while he's filming Space Jam every night, three-hour pickup games, and they apparently were unbelievable games. You saw Reggie Miller talk about it last night. And he's taking notes. He's scouting the next wave so he can go and beat him. So he was coming back. We just didn't all know it.
Last night, I thought what was really, really something that I think people need to remember. I know it's always been part of the discussion, but younger people didn't know about Scottie Pippen. The play call goes to Kukoc. He hits it. It's a winner. It's a playoff game. Like, Scottie says he wouldn't change a thing. Does that surprise you?
Yes, I was hoping he wouldn't say it that way. Another, you know, a terrific athlete to watch, one of the best all time. And honestly, that was the only game in that era that I started covering. I graduated and I started our first season of Michael's rookie year was my first year covering sports right out of college. And I remember watching a regular season game. And so I was at most playoff games in his career, missed some, but during that 90s stretch when I was part of the pre and post game, I missed that game. My young brother, you know, what's graduating college for when we got the playoffs going on, fellas? Come on. So I had to go to Iowa, and I missed it. I went to my brother's graduation. So I missed the 1.8 game, and I'm like, that didn't really happen. I'm getting phone calls during the ceremony, after the ceremony. No, this couldn't have happened. And, you know, I was shocked that he said he'd do it again, but clearly you've seen the character development here. He was a very stubborn guy, and he didn't budge for anything, and I thought that was a career flaw for that moment, for sure.
Jeff Joniak joining us on the show. Okay, I got to ask you about Mitch before we let you off the phone here. What's the future of my Mitchie? I love Mitch. I love this family. I'm concerned for him over there in Chicago. What's got to happen for him to be able to hold on to that job and be the Bears franchise quarterback?
And that's the key you just said, the hold on, because until further notice, you know, it's his job. I mean, he's you know, despite what people write about here in town, and, you know, some papers I think have gone overboard locally about the end of the line. I mean, last week when they didn't pick up his fifth-year option, I'm sitting here getting ready to watch some television Sunday night in the local NBC. The end of the line for Mitch Trubisky is the lead headline, and I'm like, did I miss something? Did he get cut? Because there's no end of the line. He's competing. And so, you know, it is going to be an open competition, and I believe in what Matt Nagy and general manager Ryan Pace have laid out, that, you know, they are honest with their players. If they're not, they're going to lose the room. They're going to lose the locker room. And, you know, it always starts with players first, as you guys know. And there is a lot of belief and love in the locker room for Mitch. He's a very feisty competitor. This is the man I've gotten to know, too, here in the past couple of years. And he does have the respect of the locker room. When he came in, his first year, he and Eddie Jackson were in the same draft class. Eddie is an undisputed leader on the defense and arguably one of the biggest leaders on the team. And they were going to change the culture. They were going to help change the culture of the Chicago Bears after years of disappointment. And those guys take that seriously. And I see no reason why Mitch is not going to ball up his fists and fight for his job. And he has to improve. He has to, he works at it. It's not like he's not, you know, working at it. But, you know, they didn't give him a lot of help last year offensively, in my opinion. So things didn't go well, and they admit it. It's from the play caller to the head coach to the offensive line to, you know, no dedication to the running game, and the tight end position produced nothing. I was stunned with my own stats that I was looking up that last year at the tight end position, they had 10 targets in the red zone. That's it. Four completions and two touchdowns. I mean, that, you know, you need tight end and running game to help out your quarterback. I'm not just saying it was that, but Mitch did not have a great year, but I do believe he's got the tools and the ability in this offense to fight for his job. And Nick Foles is a terrific quarterback as well, but, you know, he's never played more than 9 straight games in his career, so he's never started more than 11. But he does have a Super Bowl MVP under his belt, and that's, you'd love to have that in the competition because guys are going to like him too. But I still have belief in Mitchell Trubisky. My broadcast partner, Tom Thayer, the former Chicago Bear, 85 Bear, believes in him too. But, you know, there's a lot of anti-Mitch out there too. So it's a matter of what it's just going to be. Let it play out. You know, let's not write tomorrow's headline today.
You graduated from high school in Cook County, right? In Illinois.
I did. Yeah, I did.
Okay. How long, when did you, exactly, because you're from here, and we got into a huge fight with our boss when we had you on during Mitch's first year. We got in a huge fight because he's like, he's from here. You guys didn't even mention he's from here. I go, he went to high school in Cook County, Illinois. What are you talking about? He got mad at me for not mentioning. So how long did you live in Northeast Ohio?
Well, I was born there. I lived there until 2 weeks before I started high school. I was about to go to West Geauga High School in Chesterland, and my dad was transferred, worked for Erie Lackawanna Railroad at the time, and we moved to Mount Prospect, Illinois, near Arlington Heights, and that's the story. So all my relatives are on the east side, west side there, and I lived in Bedford for a bit, grew up by the airport, a house that no longer stands. It's part of the rental car parking lot. It's funny, I was just watching some old videos my uncle sent me, because he's out in Mentor, and of my 3-year-old birthday party, believe it or not, he had 16-millimeter film, me on a tricycle, and there's planes flying. He kept shooting the planes overhead because in my parents, I don't know, you know, you're supposed to be about location. I remember hearing the rumblings of Hopkins every single day as a little boy. But, yeah, and then we wound up in Chesterland. Yep, that's my journey through Cleveland, and always, Tone, you know, got a lot of family there, so a lot of.
And I could tell you, as a Wolverine and proud native of Chesterland, the sign says, "Welcome to Chesterland." Yes, and the sign out front says, "Welcome to Chesterland" on both sides.
Nice. What year did you graduate?
2000. And we got our 20-year reunion coming up. Jeff, and you're more than welcome to come in and enjoy the weekend. Fun, full of festivities from a socially distanced area.
I'll consider the invite. I would have been class of 80, so I went to St. Anselm grade school just down the road.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so, Jeff, it's a small world, and now my boss will be satiated. We don't have to fight with each other anymore. We thank you so much, my friend.
I can see why he fought, though, because he's a feisty little sucker as well. You know, we had our battles when he worked with me, believe me.
Well, I'm glad to tell you I'm continuing these battles to this day. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Good luck, fellas. Thanks for having me on. Good to have you.
Thank you. Take care. Jeff Joniak joining us on this show, Bears play-by-play man. Covered those 90s Bulls. He's 216-578-0092. Jeff on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll be right back after this. And also, LeBron wearing number 23. I think it was a mistake from the get-go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.